Atheist Nomads, episode 338. The Space Force Bible.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Lauren.
Hello!
And Kylie is watching something true in the back room, so she's currently calling for me, but we'll see how well this works. I got some mail this weekend.
Yes, we love it when you get special mail.
This
special
was
in quotation marks.
Yes. U.S. Postal Service from ShareHim. ShareHim was one of the sponsoring organizations of the evangelistic series that I preached in Mexico when I left the Adventist Church and Christianity.
That fateful trip.
Yep. And I'm just going to read the first little bit here. Dear Dustin, there's a crisis today in the Adventist Church, and I'm writing to ask your help. Nearly 70% of young Adventists in North America are leaving the church. According to Dr. Doug Jacobs, the Adventist Church is graying. If we don't do something soon, the future of the church is in trouble.
Dun, dun, dun!
70% are leaving now.
Of the youth.
Of the youth. When I was graduating college, they were saying 50%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think back then it was probably 70, and now it's probably 90.
Yeah.
The numbers, I'm sure, are way behind.
Yeah, numbers like that tend to be behind simply because surveys and census information do tend to be slow. But
and it often,
that's only usually a couple years, not...
Oh, it usually takes the Adventist Church a good 10 to 20 years to actually drop members from the books.
Yeah, they're really going to freak out when they actually get all caught up.
Oh, yeah.
But why do you keep getting mail from Adventists?
Well, okay, so I stopped the stuff since the Quiet Hour, who is the other sponsor of that evangelistic series, they were tied in more officially with the Adventist Church than ShareHim is. Both are independent ministries. So when I ask that all publications be stopped being sent to me when I resigned my membership officially, that included getting the Quiet Hour to stop sending me their magazine addressed to Pastor Dustin Williams.
Okay.
And that stopped the various church magazines and newsletters as well. This isn't one of those. This was, they're fucked. They know they're fucked.
This was the letter equivalent of a cold call?
This was...
Going back through records?
They reached out to everybody who has ever preached one of those series to see if they can get money to help get more people doing that, to try to keep the church from dying. Now, of course, what's kind of funny with ShareHim in particular is they focus on overseas missions. And not necessarily truly overseas, but not U.S., not Canada.
Mexico.
Not really Europe. Mexico, Africa, Pacific Islands. Although not so much the Pacific Islands, they're pretty saturated already. But Mexico's a really popular one for that because it's cheap airfare. And the problem with the graying Adventist church is not the rest of the world. It's the U.S.
It's the rich ones. It's the ones with the money are graying out.
And
going into retirement, cutting back donations.
And I suspect it's specifically white Americans.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the demographics, and the Adventist Church won the demographic diversity study recently with being the most ethnically diverse church in America. Roughly equally split between white, black, and Latino.
Nice.
That is because they've continued, well, they've been successful at maintaining numbers overall, but they've been losing white people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's not a super majority of white people like other religions are.
And like they used to be.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Adventist Church historically has been
a very white
church.
I thought maybe it was just good targeting.
Oh, no, no. This is, those are the areas that are continuing to grow.
They're hemorrhaging white people.
Well, all the white kids graduate from Adventist colleges and never step foot in Adventist church again until their grandparents or parents die.
Or go to Mexico and go swimming with French girls and smoke cigars and drink for the first time in their lives and realize, yeah, there's no going back.
So what Sharahim is trying to raise money to do is to send Adventist young people to the rest of the world to preach evangelistic series to not to save souls overseas. It's to save the souls of the young people that are preaching these series.
Well, they could care less about the people overseas, right?
They're doing just fine out in the rest of the world. they're worried about the money base drying up.
Yeah. And they should be, because their money base is drying up.
Yeah.
It's just funny that they reached out to somebody such as yourself,
who used one of those trips as my last-ditch effort to save my faith.
Yeah.
And it quickly convinced me that, oh, the entire Adventist message is based on old misinformation and rhetorical games to try to convince people of problems they don't have and offering them the solution to those said problems that you invented.
Yeah. Most religions are like that is mm-hmm. most religion. Mm-hmm.
They all do that. The Adventist Church specifically, though, tries to make an argument that they're right because of Bible prophecy.
Yeah, they're really heavy on the Bible prophecy.
And the Bible prophecy only works if you massage the historical record just right to make everything fit just right. And yeah, that does not actually hold up.
No, really stretch and reinterpret. And then, of course, there are also, you know, the affluent white kids go to colleges, study, and mm-hmm. realize that maybe this isn't all sound. And then they leave the church. Mm-hmm. And then you get letters 20 years later. 15,
10? This would have been...
10 years?
12 and a half?
12 and a half years. After they've left the church,
yeah.
begging them for money.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm very proud of him. He did actually reply to them.
Okay, so as of recording, I have replied once. And that was asking how they got my current address. Because I was stripped from the books and should have not been getting any forwarding stuff getting reported back to the Adventist Church.
I thought for sure it was the university.
I went through that when I lived in Linwood. Mm-hmm. And the only stuff I've gotten from the anything Adventist since then has been my high school and college.
Yeah.
And now this. They get their mailing list updated by the Postal Service. Because apparently, if you give the Postal Service a list of names and their last known address, they will validate that list and update it for you. That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, I'd be talking to the Postal Service about that.
They should not be giving out my address. Ah, oh, man. All right. We have news. The United States government is preparing slowly for developing the sixth branch of the U.S. military. You know, most countries are good with three.
No, we got to have twice as many as everybody else.
Most people would have thought five was already enough or too many, but no, we need to have six. Because America?
America!
Fuck yeah! So part of this preparation is the blessing of the official Bible for the U.S. Space Force.
Space Force. Space Wars 2.0. But the official Bible.
This is what all the top brass is going to be sworn in on. They had a ceremony at the Washington National Cathedral on Sunday, which... In case you aren't aware, the Washington National Cathedral is the seat of the Archdiocese of Washington for the Episcopal Church. So that's Church of England, not official U.S. anything.
Yeah, that's funny.
It's commonly used as if there needs to be a generic religious service in
Christian.
D.C. for something governmental, like an ex-president's funeral. They will often use the Washington National Cathedral. But they had a blessing ceremony for the official Bible that will be used for the Space Force. Taking part in that included I believe it was the Air Force Chief of Chaplains, a two-star general, and several pastors from various places. The Air Force Chief of Chaplains. It's a King James Bible. It was donated by the Museum of the Bible.
Oh, no, not those guys.
Hobby Lobby owners.
Yeah.
Pet project. Steve Green. And the Dean of the National Cathedral was there. A bunch of people involved. And it's being protested.
Yay!
Military Religious Freedom Foundation is leading the protest. Their statement to NPR was, "The Military Religious Freedom Foundation condemns in as full-throated a manner as humanly possible the shocking and repulsive display of only the most vile, exclusivist, fundamentalist Christian supremacy."
Wow, that is strongly worded.
Yes. Weinstein went on with, "The utilization of a Christian Bible to swear in commanders of the new Space Force or any other Department of Defense branch at any level is completely violative of the bedrock separation of church and state mandate of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution." Goddamn.
Hear, hear.
This is something that shouldn't have needed to happen. It didn't need to happen, and it shouldn't have happened in the first place.
But it did, and it happens. Stuff like this happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. All the time. For a basically the exact opposite, Manilis, New York Town Board swore in four new members. One chose the Bible. The other three used the city codebook.
Aw, good for them.
Three out of four newly elected members did not swear in on the Bible.
Good. I wonder if the new Boise mayor was.
I'm sure she did. We would have seen that if she hadn't.
True, that would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Deere, Elaine Denton, and Heather Waters are the ones who did not use the Bible. All three are Democrats, and they had various reasons for using the codes book, not the Bible. Deere said that he's an atheist and believes in the separation of church and state. Denton said that using a legal book just seemed right. And the third member wasn't entirely sure what she was going to swear in on. She thought about a work by Fayetteville suffragist Matilda Joslyn Gage. But then she thought maybe that wasn't necessary. She thought about the New York State Constitution, but in the end went with the binder complete with post-it notes.
Her binder with post-it notes?
No, the official copy of the town code is in a binder that has post-it notes hanging out of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, congratulations to the new board members of Manilis, New York.
All right. May more follow in their footsteps.
Pope Benedict is back in the news after several years of silence.
Yeah, it's been quiet for a little while.
Well, normally when you abdicate the papal throne, there isn't a whole lot of precedence for what happens at that point.
Basically, I thought the next time we were going to hear about him, he was going to be dead.
I was figuring dead or more likely accused of fucking a bunch of children. It ended up being no. He is publishing a new book, reaffirming the necessity of the celibate priesthood. And this is happening at the same time that Pope Francis is working on expanding the ordination of married men.
Okay, so a little bit of headbutting between popes here. Just in time for the new movie, Two Popes, to come out on theaters. No.
That's on Netflix. We have not
and
seen
theaters.
It. Oh, it is hitting theaters.
Yeah, it's at the... Actually, this is being shown at the Cheap Theater.
Oh, wow. No, this is a funny case where if they're actually butting heads, then that would mean that Benedict is the anti-pope. And it's been a long time since we've had an anti-pope.
Wait, seriously? That's what they're called?
If you have rival popes, you have the official... The victor who ends up being the pope is the pope, and the usurpers are the anti-popes.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah. At one point, there were three people claiming to be pope, and eventually one ended up getting full control of the church, and the other two were deemed anti-popes. since Benedictus the 16th resigned, he has no claim to being Pope presently, so he would be by default the anti-Pope. Yeah, but yeah, he's this isn't surprising though. He did a lot of writing before he was Pope.
Well, I'm not surprised that he released a book, and I shouldn't be surprised that he's going to double down on this issue in particular.
Actually, I have a book written by him.
Oh.
The edition of the Catechism of the Catholic Church that I have.
Oh, the one that's sitting right over there on the bookshelf?
Yeah. That was mostly written by Benedict.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. At that time, he was a cardinal in charge.
And probably fucking boys.
At that point, probably fucking seminary students. But
yeah. Which is why, you know, he doubled down on this whole celibacy thing, because it's not true celibacy.
Well, and the whole point of priestly celibacy was, as we've talked about on the show quite a few times, it was to make sure that bishops didn't have legal heirs that could lay claim to their lands and thrones.
Yeah. So any kind of sex that does not produce offspring is okie dokies.
Yep. Well, yes and no.
To a certain extent.
1 million moms, which should be more accurately described as thousands of angry moms.
Yeah.
is again angry. This time, they are going after Burger King.
How offensive, Burger King.
In one of their commercials promoting the Impossible Whopper, which we each had one.
Not bad.
It was decent. They have a clip of somebody with a mouthful of food saying, damn, that's good. Not goddamn, that's good. Just damn, that's good.
Yeah, and they want them to remove the D word.
This ad has been out since August.
What's funny is that in their actual complaint, they did refer to it as the D word. So I was trying to think, what Burger King commercial have I seen where they use the word dick?
Yeah.
Huh. None that I could think of.
Yeah, it was damn.
And they always censor out the God part whenever you hear goddamn on TV or something, so.
Right. Because goddamn, to a Christian who takes the third commandment in the Protestant version of the Ten Commandments, second commandment in the Catholic version of the Ten Commandments, goddamn is taking the Lord's name in vain. Damn by itself, while just short of that, is not, and it would be no worse than darn. This is stupid.
It is. It puts the ass in asinine.
You know, you compare this. Oh, so their statement. 1 million moms finds this highly inappropriate. When responding to the taste test, he didn't have to curse. Or if, in fact, it was a real and unscripted interview in which the man was not an actor, then Burger King could have simply chosen to edit the profanity out of the commercial.
Because that level of profanity is really what's important here. I haven't heard from 1 million moms in a long time. And this is what gets them riled up?
Yeah. 2012, they were trying to get JCPenney to fire Ellen DeGeneres from being their spokeswoman.
I bet they were, what was that most recent commercial? Was it a Hallmark commercial that showed two women kissing?
They also...
Was that them?
They went after
that.
I think
that was that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, there are real problems. There are kids being abused, being chained up on the border. There are people being sent to war. There's so many problems in the world, and they focus on this stupid shit. I mean, this is not important at all.
Now,
in fact, they're actually giving it more importance by fighting it.
Yeah. To my amazement, in this article, and CNN did a really good write-up on this, I learned something about 1 million moms.
Besides the fact that there aren't a million of them.
Well, their Facebook group has just shy of 100,000 likes.
They're off by a couple of zeros there.
8,000 people, according to their website, have taken action on the Burger King issue. So none of that adds up to 1 million. And they are a division of the American Family Association.
And it all makes sense. Yeah. I wonder how many different associations that group has.
Oh, man. I don't know.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Dig into all their affiliates and associates.
They're
and,
all crap. But
oh, yeah.
Obviously.
And not pro-family. They are just anti-gay. All right. We are back. Yes, listeners, you didn't know, but we have slept and gone through a whole other day.
Yeah. Snowy day.
Snow. Yep. Yep. So let's get back to some news. And this is stuff I'm actually prepared for, unlike the last half that I was just winging.
All right. All right.
Yeah. In 2018, a Montana court ruled against Jehovah's Witnesses, awarding a woman compensatory and punitive damages coming to a total of $35 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. This is over the sexual abuse that she received as a child in the mid-2000s.
Oh, wow.
And in the lawsuit, she accused the church's national organization of ordering the local church to not notify the authorities of the abuse.
Oh, sounds so Catholic.
Oh, JW's been having a lot of trouble with this lately, too. The state Supreme Court.
And they all have.
Yes, they really all. Yeah. Adventist Church has. Baptist Church. Yeah, basically, they all have. The state Supreme Court has now ruled unanimously that the lower court was wrong, and they have reversed the decision, saying, quote, clergy are not required to report known or suspected child abuse if the knowledge results from a congregation member's confidential communication or confession, and if the person making the statement does not consent to disclosure, end quote.
Is that the law?
In most states.
Then that's the law. That I understand why they may have. Oh, but that's awful. That is awful.
Yeah.
To excuse sexual abuse because there's... To even have a law that states that clergy are not obligated to report something said in confessional.
So this is something
it's
something that exists because of Catholics.
Yep.
And since there are a lot of Catholics in every state, they have successfully lobbied every state or just about every state to have a confessional exemption on all mandatory reporter laws.
Yeah, that should, they should make an exception in that exception for child abuse.
No, this is, the mandatory reporter laws are specifically for child abuse.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's bullshit.
So
many crimes.
Now, where this gets even crazier is the seal of the confessional in the Catholic Church is such that the doctrine, until literally like 2 weeks ago, was that if you find out in the confessional that somebody is raping children and you notify the authorities, you will burn in hell.
Yep.
Not purgatory. You will burn in hell. Damned forever.
Yep.
That does not apply here. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe in a hell.
No, they're just using it to skirt the law.
Right. They are doing what most Protestants do, and they are adopting that, taking advantage of that, because they can't just make the law confession. It includes confidential communication so that pastoral counseling is covered. Because if they don't do that, then it's just a law that specifically privileges Catholics and would be very difficult to support in the courts.
Yeah. It just makes me feel icky that I know so many people who go to churches that are okay with that. It's like, you guys really need to rethink your position on this. You can't just let your churches get away with it.
Now, here's where I think it gets a little bit messier. The issue is that the church knew about it and did nothing to stop it. Well, okay. Eventually, after the girl's mom complained long enough.
Or after she aged out?
No, it wasn't that long. It was just the mom finally complained enough that they kicked the guy out of the church, disfellowshipped him for 1 year.
Whoa!
And then welcomed him back.
Oh, my God.
And the abuse resumed.
Oh, my God. See, that's bullshit.
And they didn't kick him out again.
Yeah, okay. Burn it to the ground.
The church was aware of it the entire time.
Yep, that's evil. I mean, not that I believe in evil, but that's evil.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one of the areas where this gets kind of is kind of convoluted is in the Catholic Church, you have very, very clearly defined who is clergy and who is laity. Very, very clearly defined.
Yeah.
In a lot of Protestant churches, it is clearly defined as to who's clergy, who's laity, because it's who's on the salary and who isn't.
Right.
Not all are that way.
No, Mormons aren't that way. That's Mormons, all volunteers.
And Jehovah's Witnesses aren't as clearly defined lines either.
Right. So
when a volunteer...
What's considered pastoral, confidential...
Yeah.
When it's just a volunteer from your church who could be anybody.
Yep. Whether it's an elder in a Jehovah's Witness kingdom hall or a bishop of a Mormon ward, those are unpaid volunteers. They are not professional.
What are they doing
staff.
Listening to confessions anyway?
They aren't. It's person A, you know, like in the case of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the problem wasn't that the person who did it confessed to the elder about it.
And no, that's not the problem. The problem was, yeah.
I believe it was an elder confessing to another elder that he was abusing this child. It wasn't that. It was that the mom complained to the church leadership over and over and over again, and the church did nothing to break the connection between the man that was abusing this little girl and the girl.
Yeah. That's awful.
This should not be protected under the confessional.
No. This shouldn't be protected under that law at all.
Now, that law shouldn't exist in the first place, but it should not apply in this case.
So, can she appeal? Or is that it, because it went up to the higher court?
After it goes to the state Supreme Court, her only choice for appeal would be the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, that's one way to try and get that law, those laws wiped out, but that's not going to happen either.
Nope.
So, does she have to get back all the money?
It wouldn't have been paid out yet. No, so instead she gets nothing and probably has to pay lawyer's fees.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. And for a story we've been following for a while now, Rio de Janeiro judge ordered Netflix to remove the film, The First Temptation of Christ. This was a temporary ruling with the aim of appeasing angry Christians. And he said, quote, "Exhibiting the artistic production may cause graver and more irreparable damage than its suspension," end quote. And an example of that damage would be the anger that it is causing Christians, such as the one who threw a Molotov cocktail at the studio on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
This is pissing off people enough to attempt arson, to engage in acts of terrorism.
Yeah.
So this then went to the Brazilian Supreme Court, which overturned the ruling, saying, quote, "One cannot suppose that a humorous satire has the ability to weaken the values of the Christian faith whose existence is traced back more than 2,000 years and which is the belief of the majority of Brazilian citizens," end quote. And they also stated that freedom of speech is fundamental to a democracy.
Okay, wow. The first part of that is, wow. A lot to unpack there. It's all bullshit.
It'd be the equivalent to saying that Charlie Hebdo is responsible for their staff getting gunned down because they printed images of the Prophet Muhammad.
Right. Not the person that did the gunning. But it's their fault because they brought it on themselves. And if it is so bad that it makes a good Christian go against their strong moral values, then it is truly bad. And it's like, no, it does not take much to incite even Christians, especially Christians. They've not been peace-loving people for the past 2,000 years.
Oh, no. No.
And they definitely not. So you can't... No. No.
Yeah, for a good example, the Spanish, and I believe Portuguese as well, empires were established by conquistadors who were Spanish crusaders.
Yeah.
They were engaging in holy war, trying to convert the heathens.
Yeah, no, they're not. No, they're not friendly people. I mean, they're friendly people on a one by one basis, but their history does not support that. And so you can't use that history. And then the majority of Brazilians being Christian also doesn't support that, because it doesn't matter who the majority is, because the minorities still have rights.
And also the majority of, well, the majority of Brazilians are probably peaceful people. Brazil as a whole is not a particularly peaceful country at the moment.
Well, that's just sad. That's sad.
It is. Yeah. They have a theocratic far-right wing asshole president who is trying to suppress the rights of indigenous people and women, and
yeah, sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Trying to suppress the rights
it?
Of gays, and while at the same time, if you are outside of a few select neighborhoods, your risk of getting mugged is really, really high.
Mm.
They have issues.
Yeah.
And that doesn't excuse Molotov cocktails.
No.
Over a movie.
Nope. Satire holds a special place in freedom of speech stuff, and sometimes I hate it, but you can't deny it. It's just, you can't censor that shit.
Well, and especially when the satire is trying to, when it elicits a certain response, its importance is amplified.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously made this to piss off people. They did not make this to then put themselves or others at actual physical harms at risk. That's not, no. They wanted to make fun of people who take themselves too seriously.
Yeah.
Which they then proved.
Especially the homophobic assholes in power.
Yeah.
That was a direct jab at them, for sure.
Yep.
But they won in the Supreme Court, and it went quickly. A California woman is in some serious, serious trouble. Sonia Tabizeta has been indicted by a federal grand jury on the charge of obstructing religious exercise by threat and transmitting bomb threats in interstate commerce.
Uh-oh. Yeah. You don't want to do the bomb threat thing.
She used a phone in California to leave voicemails with Georgetown Visitation Preparatory School, which is a Catholic all-girls high school in Washington, D.C., saying, I'm going to fucking kill your kids.
Why? Like I said, I may not agree with the religion or the private schools, but holy crap, don't threaten the freaking kids. What?
Okay, so you want to know why?
Yeah.
In May, the school's president emeritus announced that they would publish information about same-sex weddings in their alumni magazine.
Oh, okay. So if somebody who went there got married, they'll go ahead and publish that the yep. fact that they got married. Okay.
Yep.
Good for them. Although I am surprised.
And that decision was made, you know, at least announced by Sister Mary Birchman, who, a nun who was the former president of the school. And part of her statement was, the church is clear in its teaching on same-sex marriages, but it's equally clear in its teaching that we are all children of God, that we each have dignity and are worthy of respect and love.
Wow, nice.
2 days later, Tabizeta left the voicemail saying, hey, motherfuckers, I'm going to burn that fucking church. I'm going to bomb it, bitch. I'm going to fucking kill you guys. I'm going to send my fucking soldiers, motherfuckers. Remove the fucking gay motherfuckers from your magazine, or I'm going to fucking kill your kids. That's a promise.
Wow.
End quote.
And this is a woman who lives in California?
Yep.
Has no business with this... Was she an alumni?
I'm going to assume she's an alumni. She's an alumnus, because otherwise, how would she be even known?
Yeah. That's violent.
Yeah.
That is not mentally well.
No, no.
And when people are not mentally well and start spewing such violent things, they really need to get help.
One minute later, she left another voicemail message.
Hmm.
Quote, what kind of pervert priest do you have running the show? Nobody cares for those girls. You're crushing the innocent motherfucking asshole. I'm going to fucking blow up the school and call it a mission from God. You guys are going to get terrorism within your fucking school, motherfucker, and you're going to be guilty, and I warned you.
Some of that didn't even make sense.
No.
Okay.
It would appear that she believed that the school had strayed from God's will and was deviating from Catholic dogma, and in response, they needed to be corrected.
Yeah.
At 5:15 in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
Over an interstate phone line.
Yep.
Making it a federal crime.
Good. Good. She did all the wrong things, and she will get punished for it.
Now, I also do want to make point that one of the charges is obstructing religious exercise by threat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you can't threaten well, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
I always try to understand, you know, why those laws might exist. And then the other part of me is like, "What? Wait, what?"
Oh, oh actually, well. That makes perfect sense. Segregationist assholes trying to
threaten the black churches.
Black churches, yeah.
Okay.
And white supremacists trying to threaten synagogues. Basically, this would have been a law targeting white supremacists.
Yeah.
To keep white supremacists from fucking over everybody else. And if it was did have any specificity...
And stop terrorism via threat.
And then the bomb threat in interstate commerce is... Yeah. Yeah, it's just... This one's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, she's crazy.
The New York City Bar Association has formally asked Congress to investigate Bob Barr.
Barr.
Bob Barr is the U.S. Attorney General, the one who apparently was hired to not be the head of the Justice Department and maintain its independence in executing the laws of the United States, but instead understands his job to be protect the president.
Yep. He's a lackey.
Yeah.
And somebody to throw on the bus when the shit hits the fan.
They are... The various bar associations have been very uncomfortable with him, to say the least. And in this particular letter that the New York City Bar Association sent, they are saying, Mr. Barr's recent actions and statements position the Attorney General, and by extension the United States Department of Justice, as political partisans willing to use the levers of government to empower certain groups over others. They go into... specify some, including Barr's speech at the University of Notre Dame, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Where he was talking about the U.S. being founded as a Judeo-Christian country on Judeo-Christian standards. And
yeah,
the Bible being God's instruction manual for the best running of man in society.
It goes on.
They included his speech at the Federal Society, where... he's claiming that people opposing Trump are, quote, engaged in the systematic shredding of the norms and understanding of the rule of law.
Nope. We just don't like the guy.
He referred to a progressive holy war.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Can it be a holy war if the majority of people involved are not religious?
The unholy war?
The non-holy, anti-holy?
Yeah.
I like the anti-pope, anti-holy.
Okay.
Anti-holy war.
They included Barr's speech at the Fraternal Order of Police, where he warned that, quote, the American people have to start showing more than they do the respect and support of law that law enforcement deserves. And if communities don't give that support and respect, they might find themselves without police protection they need.
Whoa! Mob tactics. Nice.
Yep.
Wow.
There was the television interview about the release of the DOJ Inspector General report, where he was trying to undermine the investigation into the Mueller investigation.
Yep.
That found that everything was fine and that Barr had been trying to interfere with it.
Everything was not fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just... He's a nightmare.
Yeah, he is. Like I said, somebody to throw under the bus. Because very successful fake businessmen like Trump, that's how they get away with stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Marianne Williamson has dropped out of the Democratic presidential primary.
Oh, no. Was she being attacked by too much dark energy? Were her crystals not healing enough? Did she not hug enough?
Nope. She just ran out of money.
Everybody is. As of today that we're recording, Cory Booker also dropped because they're running out of money. And that should not happen in a democracy.
Well, okay, yes and no. For one, people should be able to donate. More people should be able to donate to candidates, and candidates shouldn't rise and fall based on how rich they are or how many corporate sponsors they can get.
Right.
So there's definitely that.
It's a politician,
element.
Not a NASCAR.
On the other hand, it provides a way of weeding out people who are worried about dark energies.
Yeah. But this isn't the way to weed that out. She wouldn't have given up if she still had money. That's not her debate answers. We would have weeded her out.
She hasn't qualified for any of the debates.
Oh,
since
that's
the
true.
First one.
This is just stuff that she spews on her campaign.
Yeah.
Rally, quote unquote rallies. Man, I don't know. Maybe we'll see her on the new Goop show.
in her statement on suspending her campaign on Twitter, of course, she wrote, "A politics of conscience is still yet possible, and yes, love will prevail."
Yeah.
That is less crazy than most of her
stuff. That's just a nice thing to say, but she's still crazy.
Yeah. No, she did pull off. So, she was actually in the first two debates.
Hi.
And during the July 30 debate, she was the most searched for candidate. Okay.
Yeah, because she was saying crazy stuff. And people are like, who is this person? Yeah. Thank you for your input. That was our political commenter, Kylie. Yep.
Her campaign had several policies, allocating $500 billion for reparations to African Americans and Native Americans. She had some proposals to handle income inequality. She wanted several new governmental organizations, including a Department of Peace and a U.S. Department of Children and Youth.
Oh. I'd actually agree with that one.
Well, isn't that the Department of Education?
Yeah and no. Because there's a lot of stuff that's wrong with kids in particular that fall outside of educational boundaries.
Okay. Health and Human Services.
That's closer, yeah. So it would be like that.
And a Department of Peace, what are they going to do other than diplomacy?
That is diplomacy. That is the ambassadorships.
The U.S. Department of State.
That's the State Department. Yeah, that's already taken. No, if you want a Department of Peace, you just dismantle some of the military stuff that's going on.
Some of the scrutiny she got was for comments about vaccines.
Yeah.
She's against them.
Mm-hmm.
And also her comments about antidepressants. She's also against them.
Oh, yeah. If you have mental health problems, you just need more positive energy in your life. And as a person who has had mental health problems, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Your issue is not dark energy. It's brain chemistry.
No. It's not dark energy. It's not the devil. It's not just being lazy and sad. No, it's... Yeah, I want to smack her upside the head for that one.
And didn't she have something about Trump's dark energy?
Yeah. His dark energy is attacking the positive energy, and we need to defeat it. She's the only one, I guess, equipped to do that. Like I said, I would not be surprised if she shows up on Goop Lab.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to boycott Netflix, that is a good reason to boycott Netflix.
Mm-hmm. In New Jersey, a bill passed to angry shouts of murderers from the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
So what was the legislature doing to be accused of being murderers? You want to guess?
No. Abortion stuff?
They passed a law removing religious exemptions for vaccine requirements.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
They had...
People don't die from vaccines.
Nope.
So that makes no sense.
And because of an outbreak of measles in New York and New Jersey, which New York also just got rid of their religious exemption on vaccine requirements.
Yeah, they needed to boost their herd immunity big time. And the only way they can do that is to yeah, unfortunately, force people.
New Jersey is following suit because they came literally within a couple weeks of the U.S. losing its status as having measles be eradicated.
Yep.
A couple weeks away from that.
Yeah, thanks, New Jersey. No, actually, that was... They got it under control, luckily, and I don't think they've had any other major outbreaks since that happened.
No, they haven't had major... They got it under control because... Because
they finally just forced people to...
They started forcing people to get vaccines or stay home.
Yeah.
Like, it reached the point that if you didn't have proof of vaccination, you could be jailed for leaving your house in parts of New York.
Yeah.
It was that big of a deal.
I mean, think about New York and how it's subdivided into religious and racial communities. You'll have whole pockets of population that are that wouldn't get vaccinated.
The Hasidic Jewish community is where
this
is happening.
If you walk through that neighborhood, you are literally putting yourself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I'm all for it. I wish it wasn't necessary. I wish people would just use common sense and... just do it themselves, but it's proven over and over and over again that if you leave people up to their own device, they will not follow through.
Yeah.
They would rather put themselves and others at risk to obstinately be anti-government than they would just to do what's good for the community.
Yeah. There was a compromise that got pushed through to make it a little bit more flexible. It's not that you have to be vaccinated to attend any school. It's that you have to be vaccinated to attend public schools.
Yeah. So I highly suspect that this neighborhood charter school is probably wouldn't count as a public school in that you'd have to be vaccinated. Because these people are...
Idaho's rules are super lax.
They reek of anti-vaccine.
Yeah. Idaho's rules are super lax. Under the new New Jersey law, it will require that private schools and daycares who are not required to accept unvaccinated children. So the school or daycare has to be willing to accept them, and then they have to publish a count of how many people enrolled are not up to date on their vaccines.
Okay. Okay, shame by public record.
So transparency, so that if you are, say, have a child who cannot be vaccinated for legitimate medical reasons, you know to avoid those places.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be able to do all that research before they go out, though. And what's sad is that there's a lot of private schools that have to send their kids to public schools to take certain classes. How does that work out?
Wouldn't be an option.
Yeah.
Those kids would not be allowed in a public
school.
Yeah,
if you're in a private school and you want to take AP English, but your school doesn't have AP English, you get bussed over to the public school to take it. Not in this case. You just go without. And that limits a lot of kids in private schools because they can't afford to teach every subject. We have our own issues with private schools. So, I mean, that's true all around. But
now, people who were not happy with this... Some people were not happy with this compromise because that leaves a loophole that has the potential of creating additional pockets of unvaccinated kids.
Yeah. Shrinks it down, though.
On the other side, people were unhappy about it because that means the rich have a privilege that the poor do not.
Yep. There's a shock.
So you can be an anti-vaxxer if you're rich, but you can't if you can't afford private school or homeschooling.
Yeah. This is a rich white person problem, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. For the people that are protesting, definitely.
Yeah.
It seems like they needed to put in that kind of some kind of a compromise to get it to pass.
Just to get that extra two or three votes to get it to pass.
But it passed, and so New Jersey will be joining California, New York, Vermont, and Mississippi as the states with the strongest vaccination laws.
You can always just move to Idaho and let your kids die of pneumonia. In other news, somebody has brought the Add the Words bill up. I think that was brought up today, actually.
Oh, cool.
And in other news, seriously, if you can write to Netflix and say, do not spread misinformation by allowing these kind of shows, get Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop off the air. That isn't health information. That is what she advertises it as. It is not. It is misinformation. Exorcisms do not work. Don't put stuff in your vagina that doesn't belong there. And I know she means well, but she's doing bad.
Yeah.
And Netflix shouldn't be encouraging that.
Yeah.
Gay Jesus, I have no problem with. Whatever. It's a satire. This is not a satire. She takes herself very seriously. It makes a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of money. Okay. I'm done. Rant over.
I bet she's made more money off of Goop than she has off of the Avengers movies.
Oh, yeah. Easily. That's why she keeps coming up with new things for it.
If you haven't checked it out yet, and I know most of you haven't, Schisms! Episode 1 is out, and episode 2 should be coming on Monday.
Oh, exciting! The date for that is?
Monday the 20th.
Nice. Oh my god, is it already that late in the month?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, check out Schisms. Yeah, you can find all the links at schismpod.com. Or just search for Schisms in your podcast app of choice. Schisms is S-C-H-I-S-M-S. And the URL does not have the S at the end. It's just schismpod.com.
All right.
Check it out. We don't have any feedback, but I have actually definitely...
You got a little bit of feedback from your mom.
Oh, that was about Schisms.
Yeah, never mind. That was so sweet.
Yeah, my mom liked it.
Feedback.
We don't have any new feedback, but I have actually definitely this time fixed the issue I was having with the feedback form on the website.
Yeah, so we need people to help us test it.
I've tested it, and it...
We need people to help us test it, yes, Dustin.
Definitely, definitely.
Send us feedback. Send me pictures of your dogs, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Or what your weather is like where you're from. I would love to see that.
And we don't have any new patrons, but if you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. And Lauren, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for getting us through, even if it took 2 days.
Yeah. And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
The Space Force.
I broke him. I broke him with a picture of baby Kylie.